Good morning.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord. About four or five of our choir people were gone today, but boy, the three that are up there did a great job, huh? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, Jesus is here and anything can happen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're not a church with a specter of persons here, but I tell you, I did want to make note of some friends here today and Pastor Brian and his wife Melody, Pastor Melody also, they were an encouragement to me when we were in another church, and it's an honor to have you and your family, your mother here today too, Brian, and we just are happy you're here with us today, as well as our other guests that are here too. So, praise the Lord. Everybody's important here. Amen?
Yes.
Glory to God. Crossfire Church is a church that is not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen? It's the power of God. In this church, we speak in tongues. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in the divine healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm excited to be able to say that because we're living in a world right now where many are following gods that are dead. Small g gods, they're dead. You can go dig them up, but you can't Jesus because he's alive and he's here today and he's in my heart. And if you belong to Jesus, you're blood-bought, born-again, Holy Ghost, huge, jumping, devil-chasing Christian. He's in your heart too, amen? Praise the Lord. That was weak. That was weak. Come on. Come on, for Jesus, not for me, for Jesus, amen? Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you what, I thank the Lord. He didn't come last week, but he may come today or this coming week, amen? We're living in a time when Jesus can come at any moment, and we need to be prepared, and I'm excited. We live in a world right now that to me seems hopeless, and there's people even within the church today that have an attitude of hopelessness. I come across Christian people during the week that I'm amazed that they don't put their hope and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you what, we need to get back into the Word, people. We need to get back into the Bible. We need to read the Word of God. We need to study it. This is where you get your hope from. This is where you get your encouragement from. This is where you get your healing from. This is where you get your needs met. This is where your life is in the Word of God as believers. Amen? And when you don't do that, you will be hopeless, I believe. And many today, and Christians that I've talked to, seem hopeless. And when I ask them, do you read your Bible? Most of them say no, hardly ever. Well, then that gives me a good understanding why they seem hopeless. We need to read the Word of God. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is evident in these pages. When you take them, it moves from our day, people. Every stage of life that you and I are going through, whatever season that is in, this word is there. God has got a word for you and I as we move through life. If you need something in your life, he's got an answer for it right there. And he takes us all the way to heaven. He's with us, amen? So I'm excited about Jesus. I'm always excited about Jesus. I said that when I got born again when I was 21, didn't I? I was excited about Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what. I told a guy the other day, I'm still excited about Jesus. And I'm 66 now. I'm a younger guy. I didn't have to throw that in, but anyway.
It was free.
It was free. So today I want to speak on, I believe the Lord wanted me to speak on heavenly hope today. Heavenly hope. We need hope. In today's times, many people are looking for something or someone to give them hope. And when they cannot find hope, their lives become hopeless. Too often this hopelessness leads them to self-defeating behaviors and habits which wreak havoc upon their lives. And before long, desperation sets in. Most will seek the advice of counsel of anyone who will tell them something that makes them feel good. And that's where the church is today, too. They want to go where they feel good, where they hear words that make them feel good to get their hope. But worse yet, those offering help are usually just as blind to knowing the answer to this question as it is. You can read in Matthew chapter 15, verses 9 and 14, where it speaks of the blind leading the blind. And many times people follow people that don't have any hope themselves. But we need to get back into the Word, as I said earlier. Amen? Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we praise you, we thank you, we glorify you. And Lord, we thank you for being with us today, Lord. And I pray that your word will touch hearts and lives, and it will challenge us, convict us, and change us, Father, as we apply it to our life. And we commit this time to you, Lord, for all the glory, all the honor, all the praise goes to you. No one else, no man, no circumstance of anything, no building, nothing. It all goes to you, Lord Jesus. We give you the praise and the glory for what you do in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And then there's a story found in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24, and it speaks, it's about Luke's account of two disciples who are walking to a village called Emmaus. And as they walked there, you don't have to turn to it, I'm just going to kind of briefly go through it here. And as they walked, they were discussing the events concerning Jesus' death. And as they continued their walk, they were joined by a stranger, which was Jesus, by the way, that stranger. And they did not know him, who questioned them about their conversation and why they were sad. They told the stranger of how the chief priests and the rulers had delivered Jesus up to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Then they said in verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. They lost hope. These disciples lost hope. It's kind of like today, as I said, we're living in a time where we're in our nation right now, as we see things crumbling all around us, that people are looking to and fro. We're looking for a leader. We've got all these leaders that are running for president today, and many people are scrambling, saying, which one is going to be the good one? Which is going to be the best leader? And I tell you what, people, don't put your trust in any one of them. Not one of them, because just like during the disciples, when they were walking down this path, guess who was walking with them? Jesus! He was there all the time. Their hope was standing right next to them. And it's the same thing in America today. We don't need to look at the political field out there and say who's gonna be the president that's going to change this country around and make it a great country. No, I don't look to man. I don't look to a political group. I look to Jesus Christ. He's in charge, because the same Jesus that walked with those disciples, guess what? He's in here today. He's in here today. He's with us today. He is the ruler. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the one that's in charge. He's the one that brings up, and he's the one that brings down. So I look to Jesus. Who do you want in office, Jesus? And that's how Christians need to be praying. What's your will, Lord? Who is the person that you would put into office, that you would work through? So we need to run to Jesus, amen? He's our only hope, people. He's our only hope. And there is nothing more so devastating than having lost your hope. Have you ever lost your hope? Have you ever lost hope? I have. There's been times in my life when I felt really hopeless, and I thought, Lord, I don't know if I don't think I'm ever going to get through this trial in my life. And things come against me out of nowhere, just suddenly. They'll come out of nowhere. One minute you're on top of the world. It can be a phone call. It can be somebody speaking to you or whatever, or a feeling in your body or whatever, and your world can be changed within a moment, and you can become hopeless quickly. And the one they had hoped in to be the Redeemer of Israel was in their minds dead. And when we hit hopeless situations, we, in a sense, don't sense the power of the Lord anymore. We almost sense like he's dead to us. We feel hopeless and there's nowhere to turn. It's a horrible feeling, isn't it? It's a horrible feeling. Along with the death of Jesus came the death of hope. And we've all lost hope in some sense, in some point in our lives. And maybe it was something you studied or practiced or worked for hard to get, and someone else got it. And your hope was dashed for achieving it. Maybe it was a little more serious. Maybe there was a time when you were without a job and without money, been there, and I felt hopeless. Or maybe it was health issues where you thought there was no hope for you or a loved one. I've been there too. I've been times when I've driven down 694 in the past 10 years and I thought I had issues going on with me. I had something hit me within a moment. I was in the former church I was in. I was standing there and something hit me, to make a long story short. And I felt my balance go off. And for the next 5-10 years, I could hardly stand up straight. I could hardly do my job. But I said, Lord, I went to doctors. I had MRIs. I went to balance centers at the University of Minnesota. And everything seemed hopeless. But I stayed in the Word of God and I spoke the blood of Jesus Christ over my body and I said, Lord, I don't care if I die. I'm going to serve you believing that you are the healer and you are the one that can help me. And I fought through those things to the point where I'm here today. I stood up in front when I taught chapels in the Wednesday evenings where I had to hold on the pulpit. Nobody knew it, but I was doing all I could to stand up and preach the Word of God. And I said, Lord, with your help, I'm going to do it. And here, 5 years further down the road, here I am. Not because how wonderful I am, not how wonderful doctors are, not medication didn't take any, but the power of God kept moving through me because I said, Lord, your word says I am healed. I stand on your word. I speak the name of Jesus to my situation. And he's brought me through more than once. Through depression, severe times of depression, I stayed with the word of God. My hope came strong as I said, Lord, you are my hope. You are my joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I hung on to what the word of God says. And if you don't read the word of God, you'll never hang on what the Holy Spirit can give you in the depth of your trial. You need the word of God, people. You need to get into the word of God. Don't trust some preacher, some evangelist, some missionary. You read the word and let the Holy Spirit move in your heart. We need those people, but I tell you what, God also expects us to work out our own salvation. And I tell you what, it's so awesome when you're going through something and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will reveal something into your heart from his word and it gives you hope and it gives you strength and you can go forward. Well, I tell you what, I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited about him because he's brought my wife and I through financial problems, through physical problems, through a lot of things, through our life, and as well as he has many of you out here. And I believe he isn't done yet. I'm excited. I'm excited. I am excited. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then what I said at the beginning, when we lose all hope, we are overcome with the feeling of senselessness and purposelessness and despair. Lack of hope can destroy our very lives. But you know something? The word hope occurs some 53 times in the New Testament. And if you take the time to look up those 53 passages, you'll find that always it is connected in God some way. Hope. Hope. It says in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I got excited when I read that. Aren't you? Come on, people. Aren't we a Pentecostal church? Man, I tell you what, you need to agree with the Word of God. I just read the Word of God. You don't need to make me feel good or anything, but it's the Word of God that should get us excited as a people of God. When you and I share the Word of God, if you go out into a hopeless world, we aren't going to stand up and say, well, I want to tell you people, you know, I know you got all kinds of problems and it looks like the world is done for. But I got some good news here for you. Let's see, it's in Romans, I guess. Now the God of hope, fill you with all joy, peace, believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You aren't going to convince an ant. You aren't going to convince anybody. People, you and I have got to know that the Savior that we live for is real. He's alive and he lives within us. And that's the power of God. When you preach it in faith and say it in faith, people will believe it because they see it in you. Not that they lift you up, but they see the power of the Word of God that now the God of hope fill you with joy. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. With all joy and peace. How many need peace today? I need peace. We all need peace. And we need that peace that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Whew. Hallelujah. And sometimes our hope can be misplaced. And there are those who hope to receive eternal life in heaven. Hallelujah. I think I missed my sheet here. I did. Our God is the God of hope. He's the God of hope. And there is a prayer that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and has given us everlasting consolation. And listen to this. And good hope through grace. He's given us good hope through grace. When we are told Christ is our hope in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. That's why you run to Jesus, amen? That's why you run to Him. So over and over again, we can see that our hope is connected with our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:27 says, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you is the hope of glory. If I've got Jesus in me, I've got hope. If somebody in the world comes to me and they're hopeless, I can tell them, well, I've got hope. And if I would like to say to them, would you like to know where my hope comes from? Ask them. And if they say yes, you've got all rights to tell them where your hope comes from. Tell them my hope comes from Jesus Christ because He lives within me. And you can witness and share the gospel with a hopeless person. Praise the Lord. Hope is that which connects us with the future, just as memories connected us with the past. How do we know that what has happened to us in the past? We know through our memories, don't we? Everything that's happened to us. That is what hope does for our future. How do we know what will happen in the future? We have hope, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. Sure, there might be valleys. We always got valleys, aren't we? We're going to have valleys in our... We've had valleys in our past. We're going to have valleys in our future. It's part of life, isn't it? Ups and downs, ups and downs. But the hope we have in Christ Jesus should make us realize that someday we will stand on the mountaintop and the mountain of God and we'll be reigning with Christ, beautifully adorned as brides for the bridegroom, and we're going to be worshiping our Lord Jesus. We're going to be praising our Lord Jesus, and we're going to be dwelling with our Lord Jesus for all eternity. Isn't that hope? I looked up in the Webster Dictionary on hope. It says, a desire of some good, accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that is obtainable. Hope differs from wish and desire in this, that it implies some expectation of obtaining the good desired or the possibility of possessing it. Hope, therefore, always gives pleasure or joy, whereas wish and desire may produce or be accompanied with pain and anxiety. Confidence in the future event. The highest degree of well-founded expectation of good. As hope founded on God's gracious promises, a scriptural sense. I like it that they put that in there. Praise the Lord. One cannot hope for that which he neither desires or expects to receive, can you? There's people that they say things out of their mouth, but they don't expect it. They don't expect God's really going to do it. There's no hope there. They just say it because it sounds religious. But we have to know it within our spirit. And sometimes, again, like our hope can be misplaced. There are those who hope to receive eternal life in heaven without acknowledging Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. There are those who hope to grow in Christ without reading His Word or going to God in prayer on a regular basis. We can't grow in the Lord unless we're in this to get our hope. There are those who hope to live happy lives even though they are rebellion and living in rebellion to God. All these are misplaced hopes, false hopes that are not founded and based in the Word of God. 1 John 3:3 says, and every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Speaking of Jesus. The verse is purifying hope, for it stimulates us to abide in Jesus. We're to abide in Him. Life can be difficult and harsh, and there are times we may think that it will not get better. Isn't there times when you head like that? It's not going to get better. It's going from bad to worse. But there is a hope, a true hope in Christ, and there's a hope nowhere else. Nowhere else. I encourage people all the time, don't depend upon this government. Don't depend upon your bank account. Don't depend upon your doctor. Don't depend upon your friends. Don't depend upon the preacher. Don't depend upon anyone but Jesus Christ. He is your hope. He is the strength. He is the lifeblood of your life, of your eternal salvation. He's the one we run to. And yes, we need the fellowship, we need the friends, and we need the things of this world, but we don't put our hope in them because everything in this world is temporal. Only Jesus is eternal. Amen? Amen? Amen. He never changes. He never changes. He's the same Jesus that he was back there as he is today and will be forevermore. And that's why we can put our hope in him, because he's never failing. He's always there, always the same, a loving God. Life can be difficult and harsh, and there are times we may think it will not get better, that it's not going to get better. I want to give you three reasons for the type of hope that Paul mentions in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. He promised it before the world began. The first word is the word of God gives us hope. The word of God gives us hope. Romans chapter 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. That we might have hope. You know, some people discard the Old Testament, but we need the Old Testament along with the New Testament. It's the whole word of God. Every word that God has put in there is for a purpose and a reason for your and my life. It's a roadmap for you and I on our way to eternity, to heaven. And we have to remember that the scripture gives us hope, both the old and new. We should not limit our studying of the Bible to just the New Testament. Many do that today. But I tell you one of the most exciting things is the Old Testament and the things that God, the events and things that God has done through people's lives that help you and I to make it through life. There may be something you're walking through and it may not be found in the New Testament, but you may find someone in the Old Testament that has walked through the very thing you've walked through and you've seen God take him right through it. God's whole word, not just part of it. Today we got a society that wants to pick and choose what they want to hear in church, and they want to hear the good things. They want their ears tickled, and they don't want to hear the hard things. But it's the hard things are the good warning things many times that help you and I to live godly, righteous lives. So we take the whole counsel of God's word, not just the stuff that makes us feel good. And we have to remember that. The events of old, they give us hope. This verse can be looked at in the context of both the Old and New Testament. We may think that our problems are unique to ourselves, but there has been someone else who's gone through them before. If you say, I'm the only one this has ever happened to, probably not. Someone else has experienced what you've gone through in life or are going through in life right now. But don't look to them for your help. Don't look to me for your help. I've had people come up and say, well, tell us, what did God do to you or help you to do to get you through that situation in your life? I tell them, you got to read the Word. He might do something totally different in your life than he did in mine. Because that's why many people lose hope and they get discouraged, because we're too busy looking at each other's rather than looking to the one, the God of the impossible. And we have to do that also. God ministered to them in their situation, and he will do the same for us. The same God who dealt with those saints of old, he deals with us today. And God ministered their needs, and he will ours also. Are you lonely and depressed today? You don't have to raise your hand, but are you lonely and depressed? Look at Elijah. He thought he did not have a friend in the world. He thought he was the only one who still loved God. He was alone and depressed. But Elijah found God. That God still was with him, and he was still there. God had never left him. God showed Elijah that things were not as bad as he thought. And then, are you frightened? Are you living in fear today? Something in your life has gotten out of control. Look at David. He fought roughly a 9-foot-6-inch giant and beat him. Big guy. How'd you like to meet him in a dark alley, huh? But guess who helped him through that? The Lord did. God was with David. No need to be afraid when God's on our side, amen? Is there something you're facing right now in your life and you feel all alone? You're not all alone if you have Jesus. He's there right with you, and he's walking with you through that circumstance of life. Or if you enter into something, even this afternoon or this next week or next month or next year, should Jesus tarry, and it's frightening to you, you can be assured that Jesus is right there. And that's what excites me about him, because he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's always there. He's faithful to the end. And in Daniel, look where Daniel was. Amen? Talk about a crisis. How would you like to be facing a group of hungry lions with nowhere to run? Daniel did. What did Daniel do? He prayed. Did you hear that? He prayed. And many of us have quit praying, or praying the way we should. But we need to pray to a living God that says he not only hears our prayers, but he answers them. And just because we don't see the results immediately doesn't mean he looked the other way or doesn't care, he plugged his ears. It means that he's doing a work in our life, and maybe work in circumstances out to get us through this time, this crisis of our life. And if we trust him and we pray to him and trust him as our Heavenly Father, we're going to see a supernatural God doing a supernatural thing in our life. I love Jesus. He's done it so much for me in my life. I am not ashamed to tell anyone what Jesus has done for me. I'm not ashamed to tell anyone that I love Jesus Christ, because he's the mighty God, the living God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Judge. As the Bible states in Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us if God's for us? And then, are you being treated unfairly? Anybody ever been treated unfairly? I'm going to put two hands up on that one. But look at, if you read the Word, God gave us an example, an event that happened in Joseph's life. His own brothers sold him. His own brothers. I've had close friends and friends betray me. But here, Joseph's brothers betrayed him and sold him. Are you in some sort of crisis? God's there. Hope in the Lord, knowing that he is still there, that he cares for his children. He cares for us. Psalm 71, verse 5 says, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God, and thou art my trust from my youth." I like that. None of our problems are new. God has seen them before. Nothing surprises our Lord. He knows everything. He sees everything. There's nothing new to him. There's nothing that he can't do in our lives when we go to him in trust and prayer and hope. And maybe the outcome will be different than what we see in the Bible, but let us know where our hope is. The promise found in the Bible gives us hope. Hebrews 13:5 says, "For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I had to throw that one in there again because I love that. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Because I'm so, you know, when I come across Christians especially that are looking for reasons to want to stay and live in sin, the first thing they'll throw out is, says, "God doesn't love me." Well, that's a lie from the pits of hell, because we know what the scriptures teach us. And also that Jesus said he would never leave us, forsake us. And if you feel he is, who walked away? Amen? See, even when we go places we should not be, or say things we should not say, or do things we should not do, Jesus is with us. He's our hope. He's there. I'm glad he stays faithful, even when I'm not. No matter what our situation is, hope is there. That hope is Jesus Christ. The second reason for hope is the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ. You won't hear a whole lot of talking about the cross in many churches across our land today, but that's where our hope is, it's in the cross. The cross ought to remind us that someone loves me, that someone loves me, and that someone is master of the universe. He is Lord of all, King of kings. Listen to Jesus' words in John 15:13. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." See, there's no greater love than the love of Jesus Christ for his saints and for the lost in this world. There's no greater love. You and I can't even comprehend it. If we would abide in Christ and draw so close to him and live out our lives for him, his love would manifest through us and we would sense that love. I heard one guy when I was a young Christian growing up in the Lord that he said one time he prayed and asked God, God, show me your love. Show me your love. I need to feel your love. And God started pouring his love upon this and into this person's life. And pretty soon he got to a point where he says, God, you got to stop. He said, your love is so magnificent, I can't contain it. I can't hold it, God. Please stop. We don't know what type of God we're serving. His love is so great. It's not like our love. His love is so awesome. Even in the midst, while I was a filthy, dirty old sinner, Christ's love was that great for me that he said, I want you. He chose me. That's the cross that he died on. A love by which he came to earth and died for our sins and paid the price of our sins with his own blood for all mankind, not just certain people, but for all mankind. That love ought to give us hope because that love demonstrates to us how much Jesus cares for us. Amen? He cares for us. How much the Father cares for us and desires what is best for us. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Praise God. What a God we serve. We should leave here today with smiles on our faces. Somebody says, well, you got that big smile on your face. I've been with Jesus. Not Lynn Diekman, but with Jesus. Oh, I don't apologize for getting excited, by the way. We cannot even begin to understand that love of Christ. The love ought to give us hope because that love demonstrates to us how much Jesus really, truly cares for us, that love, how much the Father cares. Why would he not freely give us all things? Why would he not do that? If the Heavenly Father sent his own Son for us to die for us to give eternal life. All things here, by the way, does not pertain to our desires, but our needs. Things that pertain to life and godliness. That's what it's talking about. Our hope is in God because he's demonstrated to us through the cross of Christ that he desires for us what is best. The cross also reminds us that God will forgive me. Our sins have been paid for in full by Jesus Christ. And when we repent, and the reason I repeated that is because today repentance is taken out many places. It's, do you want to be a follower of Jesus? And people think they're born again just by putting their hand up with no repentance. But Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So I say this again. When we repent and place our trust in the finished work of Christ, there's no place for guilt in our lives. We're forgiven. Isn't that incredible? That when I gave my life to Jesus, said, Jesus, forgive me for all my sins from my past to where I'm standing today. He takes them and he puts them under the blood of Jesus, washes them, throws them in the sea of forgetfulness, and he says, I'll never remember them again. And the old devil will come to your mind and say, remember, 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 and you don't have to remember because God doesn't even know. He washed them away in the precious blood of the Lamb, the one who gives us hope. And when I still sin today, and when I do, I can come to the Father and say, Father, forgive me for my sins. And the Bible says that he's faithful and just to forgive us when we repent. Listen to Colossians 1:21-22. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. What hope we have is the body of Christ. What hope there is in the cross of Christ. What assurance Jesus has reconciled us to the Father, presenting us holy, blameless, and above reproach. That's his grace and his mercy. Our hope is not in what we have done, and it's not in our works. Our hope is seen in the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where it's at. Thirdly, the empty tomb gives us hope. The resurrection of Christ assures me that I can change too. Many times we wallow in our sin thinking we cannot change, that there's no hope. Some use that as an excuse to sin and wallow in their problems. We just resign ourselves saying that is just the way things are. That is just who I am. That's an excuse if you know the Word of God. If you know the Word of God, that is not the truth. There is hope. There always is hope. If God can take a body that had been dead for 3 days and give life and make it glorified body, then He can and will change you and I when we come to Him. Amen? It says in Romans 6, 3 and 6, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Amen. There's always hope. Sin cannot dominate you when you come to Jesus. He'll set you free, no matter what it is. Addictions, whatever you want to call it. Filthy bad habits. Get them out of your life and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? You're just making somebody else stumble when you live in filthy bad habits too. I'm going to be straight and blunt with you people because it's the truth of the Word of God. God has given you and I the power to be the sons of God. There is hope in the resurrection of Christ. Hope to no longer be slaves of sin. And may I dare say again, bad habits. We don't have to be slaves to them. Don't let the devil lie to you. There's hope. Not just some sins, but all sins. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so should we walk in our new life in Christ. By what? Our own strength? Can we do it in our own strength? No, we can't. Our own will? Can we will it in ourselves and just... No, we can't. We can't do it. No, but by the glory of the Father. By the glory of the Father, by hope, which is in our Lord. It says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." When I look to Jesus Christ, I get my strength, I get my ability, I get my know-how, my want to. I will to do it through the power of Jesus. Jesus in me, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I've got the strength to be set free from sinful lifestyles in my life. And brothers and sisters, if you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior and your life has not changed, you need to take a good look at your salvation, whether it's genuine or not. I got to be honest. We need to do that. Two people are afraid to say that, but I tell you what, you know something? We got to speak the truth to people today. We are going into eternity one way or another. And time is short. And too many want to make money, sell books, and grow big churches. And I'll tell you what, that's not my goal. My goal is to tell you always the truth. If your life hasn't changed and you're still living a sinful life or you're living a way that's not glorifying to God, I'll let the Lord and the Holy Spirit be the convictor of your life. But you need to come before the Lord and say, "Lord, where is my walk with you?" Amen? I got to do it. I have to do it. I'm not just pointing. I'm pointing here too. It's a work that we need to do. Working out our salvation, the Bible says in James. Working it out. Because the Word of God states, if you have truly received Christ as Lord and Savior, you are a new creation. I'm not like what I used to be, a dirty old sinner living that way on purpose. But God changed me when He saved me. I'm still not a perfect person, never will be till I stand before Him. But I tell you what, I'm not the same person I was when He saved me. And I thank the Lord for His salvation. I thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus Christ, for we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Old things have passed away. They're dead. They're dead. And sometimes that's a progression. I want to make sure you get that. God doesn't make you all of a sudden save you and you're perfect. No, he's working on you. God is so awesome. He knows exactly what to do, and he knows some people grow faster than others, and some other people just come along, and some people need to be encouraged by the body of Christ. We need to help some people on the weaker vessel sometimes. We got to help them and coach them and help them to be in the Word of God and to ask the Lord to help them to change in the way they're living their life if they're not living it accordingly. We don't do that work. We let the Holy Spirit do it. See, the resurrection gives me hope that I no longer have to live as a slave to sin. That just as God raised Christ from the dead, he has raised me from the spiritually dead also. The empty tomb also assures me of eternal life. It gives me the hope for a better life in the presence of God. Better than anything I've ever known on this earth. And you know something? My heart really goes out to this pastor that killed himself here a week or two ago on this Ashley list, whatever they call it, that got caught. And he couldn't handle it. He was a professor in a college as well as a pastor. And he took his life. He was hopeless. But see, he focused away from the Word of God. Because if he'd gone to Jesus Christ truly and repented and said, Lord, forgive me, God would have delivered him and given him the hope that he needed. But Satan lied to his mind. He believed the lie, and he took his life. Better than anything I've ever known on this earth is the presence of God. It says in John chapter 11, 25 and 26, and I'm almost finished here now. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this, he said? Do you believe this? So we have seen this morning who our hope is. We have seen three reasons for our hope. God's word, the cross, and the empty tomb. That's our hope. Let's all stand, please. I want to keep preaching, but I feel I got to stop right here. I did hear a joke, by the way, this week about a pastor who wouldn't be quiet when they gave him 10 minutes to talk. And they say you should never, ever give a pastor, you know, when he says 10 minutes, it's not 10 minutes. This pastor went into 45 minutes. 45 minutes, and the commentator got so mad he picked up his gavel and he threw it at the pastor. It went over the pastor's head and it hit an old man sitting at a table that was sleeping. And he woke up and said, hit me again, I can still hear him. I don't want to be that way. In closing, I want us to realize something. Without Christ, there's no hope. As someone once said, life with Christ is an endless hope. Life without Christ is a hopeless end. So if you're here this morning, you've never acknowledged that you are a sinner and placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do this every Sunday at Crossfire. We never want to miss because the Holy Spirit knows the heart. I don't, God does. I don't care if you've been in church all your life. I'm still going to preach this because I don't know where your heart is. Only God does. But if you're in here this morning and say, well, I sure hope I go to heaven. Well, if you say that, you're going to miss heaven. Well, I think I'm going to go to heaven because I pay my tithes, I go to church, and I treat people really swell. You're going to miss heaven. You're going to miss it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there are none righteous, no, not one. Not one person is righteous that we all have to come to the cross. And Jesus said, repent. Ask for forgiveness, and he says he's faithful and just to forgive. If you've never done that and you want that hope of salvation, of eternal life, then I would ask you this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed, is there anybody in here this morning, just to make sure, is there anybody in here this morning who would raise their hand and say, I want the assurance of that hope. I don't know if I died today, if I would even go to heaven. I hope I will, but if you say that, you are living a dangerous life. Because you and I can drop dead at any moment, any second. Jesus can come at any moment, any second. Is there anybody in here that said, I need to repent and give my life to Jesus Christ? To put my hope and trust in the Savior. Is there anybody here? Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your written word. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you for what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. Because of you sending your Son, we have eternal hope. We have eternal salvation to live with you, Lord. That you wash all of our sins away and we can stand before you, righteous Father. Not in ourselves, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for everyone in here this morning that you continue to do a work in our hearts and our lives, that the Holy Spirit will continue to convict us to live the lives that we need to, Lord. Lord, they heard me. I didn't say judge. I said convict. That your word would convict our hearts and lives to live according to your word, that we would have the washing of the word in our life every day, that we can be light to a dark world, that we can go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with excitement and enthusiasm, knowing that we have a future with Jesus throughout all eternity. This dark world, as it gets darker, Lord, let us shine brighter and brighter, and let us get so filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us have such a zeal to preach the good news to a lost and dying world that we can't keep our mouths shut. Because we want to tell everybody about this loving Savior. I pray that upon each one of us, Father. And also, Lord, that you would meet all the needs of the people here today. That their prayers would be answered and the healings would be manifest. And the financial situations and the relational things will be manifested in their lives as they see that you are a living, mighty God that loves us so much. And we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have some good fellowship. Talk about Jesus. Boy, you're a quiet bunch today. What is going on here? Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Amy? Oh, I forgot. Hey, everybody, I really apologize. There was a song that was going to be sung. Can you just give 2 minutes here? We'll finish the song, okay? I really apologize. It was a last-minute thing in my age. Well, no, I'm going to say my age because I'm too young for that.
And I think it really fits with what you shared about the hope in Jesus.
Amen.
And creating a clean heart.
Amen. I apologize, girls.
Spirit within me, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.